Good evening. Welcome to the Soleri Report and Happy New Year. Today is Thursday, January 3rd, 2019. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this week. We had a wonderful tea with 30-plus subscribers in Malvern, PA on December 21st. We had people come from New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, and PA. It was a wonderful group and lots of great conversations. I very much appreciate you all taking your time during the holiday to come. And speaking of holidays, I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. I feel great about 2019. I kind of look at the year, even though I'm going to say some dire things tonight, I kind of feel like what is hidden is becoming more transparent, and I think that's good. Things have to come to fruition one way or the other. Anyway, another event, if you're interested in the new year and some serious fun and intellectual stimulation, we're going to do a hang with me in Stavoren. It's Hang with Soleri in Stavoren, March 9th to March 16th. We'll post next week. Bridget Mouchet, who runs the wellness series, Ulrich Groniger, who runs Future Science, Robert Duper, our marvelous videographer, and myself will be in Stavoren in the Netherlands for a week. We will include it in the package as two dinners, one, of course, at my favorite Cafe Max, and then we're going to be doing morning sessions and self-organizing for lots of activities for the afternoons and meals, other meals than the two in the package. Anyway, we'll be deep diving on the future science presentations that Ulrich did last year, including the Wave Genome, talking a lot about quantum biology and wellness. And again, we'll post for subscribers next week. That's going to be limited to 10 people. We want to keep it intimate and really have some in-depth, serious, but uplifting discussions. So we want to get some real results. There is a new special report on the Federal Accounting Standards Advisory Board 56. It's an accounting policy issued by the federal government. You heard Skidmore and I talk about it last year. It authorizes secret books for U.S. government agencies and related entities. That's right. The government financials are now officially secret and completely out of control. What that means is all taxes and proceeds of treasuries and other securities can be turned over to large corporations and private investors on secret terms, in secret, by a secret process that we can't know about. So what this means is, through an obscure accounting policy, we have now converted the United States government to a fascist governance model. No constitutional convention, no congressional vote. It's the just do it method. Now, this has profound implications, not just for the United States, but for much of the developed world, which is subject to the U.S. national security umbrella, and even in some cases, some pretty significant economic and national security control. It also has profound implications for numerous other countries. It has very major implications for global investors. It means the assets they are financing can be transferred away from the entity that owes them money that they have essentially a call on, and that means they could be loaning their money to an empty shell as their money is laundered out the back door to private players. And those private players may not necessarily be acting in the best interests of them or their beneficiaries or constituencies or investors. So there's a non-alignment, which is now explosive, happening in the fixed income markets. And this is global. And this is something that could rock the financial markets at any time. So as I said, the implications for the fixed income markets are profound, and we're going to be discussing it in the real game of missing money on January 24th, which is the theme for the annual wrap-up, which will be presented in the last of the 4 weeks that we roll this out. Our theme tonight is strategic planning for 2019. What do you need to do? Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpent and harmless as doves." This is a year when we're going to have to be wise as serpents, because a darker time is upon us. I gave an economic storm warning on December 13th. And what I discovered is, talking to some subscribers, they didn't quite understand what I meant. They're concerned about collapse. I assure you, the forces that have now stolen trillions of dollars have no intention whatsoever of collapsing. They're resource rich. So I want you to focus on six aspects to be prepared for. And again, I'm, of course, focused on the worst case because I want to make sure you can navigate in all cases. One, the chances of a U.S. recession are significant. The national security state is bringing major capital back into the United States, and they do not want competition from the civilian economy. That's going to set off inflation, or inflation higher than it is. I think real inflation is running at approximately 10%. This means that the squeeze down on the civilian economy will include higher interest rates and real political engineering of resources into the insiders at the expense of the outsiders. Expect less reliability on services, utilities, and general infrastructure. It varies widely depending on what area you're in, but I think the absence of maintenance in the civilian economy is going to be noticeable. There are going to be greater defaults on obligations such as pension funds, and of course, we're all going to experience insiders and outside interruptions and hiccups from trade wars. There are also going to be covert wars, which should hurt the outsiders harder than insiders, but they're happening to insiders too. This does not necessarily mean that it's going to be bad for the stock market. We've seen many times, perfect example, 90, 91, 92, where stock market did gloriously dip. Despite a recession, for reasons again related to the insiders having a party at the expense of the outsiders. And there is serious pressure on emerging markets, so the bear trap risk continues for those areas. So number one, U.S. recession. Number two, but focus on U.S. recession in the civilian economy. The deep state economy should be going gangbusters. And so how it affects you very much depends on which side of the economy you're in. Are you working for the insiders, or are you got your own business or operation as one of the outsiders? The area that concerns me the most is the second. I'll call it place-based criminality, and it's very spotty as to whether it impacts you. It depends, you know, on where you are. If you're in Paradise, California, or in New Orleans during Katrina, it's a big problem. If you're in Switzerland, it's no problem at all. But we're going to see increased place-based criminality. That includes weather, warfare, disaster capitalism, various kinds of covert operations, and quote-unquote gentrification. So I think it's primarily going to be in the United States and Southern Europe, but it's also going to be in global spots in second and third world countries around the world. So this very much depends on the place where you are and whether you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Swiss Re, the Swiss insurance company, just pointed out natural and human-made catastrophe cost an estimated $79 billion in insured losses in 2018 and $150 billion in 2017. Both were the two worst years on record. Wouldn't surprise me to see next year, or 2019, 2020, particularly 2021 and 22, be the, you know, possibly top those records. I don't think you have to worry about collapse, as I said. I think you're talking about one economy, the deep state economy, protecting itself at the expense of the civilian economy, which is going to continue to get squeezed. So what does that mean to you? You've got to be in a position to identify and outwit the spiritual warfare, the debased culture, the economic invasion, the covert ops, and the chaos. The reason I'm stressing this as much as I am tonight is it's the meaning of the Federal Accounting Standard Advisory Board 56, or I'll call it FASB 56. What they've just done is turbocharged secret armies. So secret armies can now get secret financing in an institutionalized process, and this is going to institutionalize, quote-unquote, anything goes in a whole new way. Now, many of us are sort of in our mind control cocoon. It doesn't touch us yet. We haven't gotten hit with what one whistleblower used to call the smite button. But I can't tell you how important it is that we've just created a pipeline into the Treasury for mercenaries and covert teams. It's very scary. Mercenaries and secret armies can now invent and come up with proposals for operations both in the United States and globally that generate corporate earnings and the resulting campaign contributions. If you read my Dylan Reed story, it was created, one of the reasons I wrote it was as a case study for a business school professor who would be able to then show how the game of Congress basically legislating earnings that cause stocks to go up that then generates capital campaign contributions that come back around to Congress. It's kind of like a harvest machine. And the problem is when that machinery starts doing things that destroys economies, you know, it becomes basically a liquidating machine. And that's part of what's happened to the U.S. economy, which has been partly offset by the many blessings in terms of economic productivity that has been brought about by technology. What that means is there are all sorts of ways that the insiders can make money on fires and highly unnatural, quote, natural disasters. I just posted a video on an interview of an engineer saying that, in his opinion, the fires in California were spread through nanobots, very high-tech stuff combined with the equivalent of directed energy weapons. I have no idea if it's true or not, but it's worth taking a look at, because what we're talking about is prototyping ways of basically implementing a Phoenix program in the United States and areas where this kind of technology is used, which can make absolute fortunes for the people who engineer the and pick up the land afterwards and the other resources. This is going to be combined with, of course, with net neutrality torn up as a policy. What it means is that the telecoms and the telecommunication companies can play all sorts of games. Perfect example, my bill for two people, my telecom bill for two people in Hickory Valley is more than $15,000 a year, because that's the kind of redundancy I need to keep two people online under all conditions. And needless to say, that does not, you know, that does not resent a reliable and smooth functioning telecom. Whenever half the time when I discuss anything sensitive, bam, telephones hang up on me. Telephones don't work. It's quite remarkable. So small business is going to be up against these kinds of issues. And of course, doesn't necessarily have the back office able to make it extremely painful for the telecoms to behave this way. I emailed with a reporter who's writing a story on FASB 56, the accounting policy, and I want to just read you the quote that I wrote. The story is simple and obvious, and I should just say I gave this as an on-the-record quote. The story is simple and obvious. What is it about secret financing for secret armies that you do not understand? The U.S. government just officially changed its governance model from a constitutional republic to fascism through an obscure accounting policy. No need to bother with a constitutional convention. The U.S. Treasury is free to tax and then borrow from our pension funds and global and domestic investors and transfer the money and assets financed and technology found or created without limit or oversight to private corporations and investors without compensation or oversight. This is privatization by the, quote, just do it method, quote. Think of this as an extension of the bailouts to a permanent open bailout structure. The White House and Congress just opened a pipeline into the back of the U.S. Treasury, and it announced to every private army, mercenary, and thug in the world that we are open for business. Every mercenary on the planet is now generating proposed schemes to create business for themselves that pumps up U.S. corporate profits and campaign contributions. Why do you think Mattis is suddenly out and Eric Prince is running ads that, quote, Blackwater is coming? You understand. Everybody does. But everybody has a family and everybody wants a future. And then I quote Detective Jimmy McNulty in The Wire. So this is a fictional character describing trying to implement the draw clause in Baltimore. Quote, If only half you mother effers in the state attorney's office didn't want to be judges, didn't want to be partners in some downtown law firm, if half of you had the effing balls to follow through, you know what would happen? A guy like that would be indicted, tried, and convicted, and the rest of them would back up enough so we could push a clean case or two through your courthouse. But no, everybody stays friends, everybody gets paid, and everybody gets a effing future. My advice? Ask now former DOD Secretary Mattis, who opposed mercenary armies, how he feels about using his credibility to arrange significant increases in DOD appropriations, and then gets the boot as soon as the mechanism to finance secret private armies goes into place. Okay, so that was an on-the-record quote. And I cannot stress this enough. I'm going to say it several more times tonight. We have DOD Secretary Mattis opposing mercenary armies. Suddenly, the policies go into place to provide secret financing to finance secret armies. And suddenly, Mattis gets the boot. Think there's a connection? I'll bet you a dollar there is. You want to go read up on the Phoenix program. It was a CIA program in Vietnam. But I think it will help you understand a little bit more about the redesign and the reengineering of America that is underway. So bottom line, please archive and have a good disaster recovery plan, because if there's a possibility that this is coming your way in 2019, you want to be prepared. What that means is if you're in a rural area in California, you want to be prepared. If you're in Zurich, I wouldn't worry about it. Number three, so number one was recession. Number two was place-based disasters or catastrophes. Number three was disinformation epidemic. I have never in my life seen as much disinformation. We are literally being blanketed and smothered in disinformation. Now, part of it is people in the media are just trying to be entertaining or get attention. That's part of it. But I've never seen so many ridiculous scenarios thrown out. One is the blue chicken alien ops, which I've talked about before. Another, Leo Wanta as one of the missing money disinfos that's back. Q, of course, the hope porn. Then Islamic terrorists are leading thermal warfare in California. That's one Dave Janda was pushing the other last month. We have numismatic dealers, of course, always pushing collapse because that sells more gold. And think of the strategy this way. It's a 57 variety strategy. It's like Baskin Robbins. You have all sorts of people, and you want to keep them divided and conquered, and you want to keep them busy or stuck or confused. And so you have thousands of different stories that will appeal to different groups. And that's part of the disinformation epidemic, but it's extensive. And one of my challenges is, how can I make sure you don't lose any time or waste any time? Because I can't tell you how many people have wasted enormous amounts of time on either fear porn or hope porn. And it just really frustrates me. So I don't want this stuff to waste your time. You're much better off out in nature, spending time with your kids, playing sports, building do-it-yourself skills. We all need a much higher learning metabolism on doing it yourself. Or reading serious books. There's tremendous sources of great information. If you haven't thrown out your TV, please do. I know everybody tells me they need it for the sports games, but you might really want to think about finding a local sports bar and only watching sports at the local sports bar or something. I don't know. Get that thing out of your house. Unfortunately, the internet is just as bad, but many of us depend on it for communication. So it's harder to get rid of, but feel free to spend as little time on it as possible. Anyway, but beware the disinformation epidemic. It's going to get worse in 2019. Please do not let it eat up your time. So that's number three, disinformation epidemic. More controls and mandates. Expect increase in the chance you've got to change schools, you've got to change jobs, you've got to change professions or move simply to get away from things or situations that don't have integrity. if possible, make sure that you have positive relationships with the honest local leadership and community wherever you are. It always helps to be well known, to have relationships, and to be useful to the useful people around you. It makes it harder to isolate you and pick you off or for misunderstandings to happen. So that's number four, beware, more controls and mandates. Five, I'm concerned about increased health risks. There were so many colds and flus over the holiday. I just think that low-grade biowarfare is happening. When I was in Washington in 98 and 99, we were the target of low-grade biological warfare. I'll tell you the story. It was funny. I tried to hire four different firms to help with security, and they were pretty reputable private investigative firms. Remember, I was a pretty prestigious and wealthy person at the time and was quite willing to pay top dollar, and all four turned us down. They checked our background and said, no, it's much too dangerous. We can't be involved. And then one took pity on me as he was leaving the house. He said, do yourself a favor, lady. He said, get birds. I said, birds? Why should I get birds? He said, if the birds die, get out of the house. He said, they're going to drill holes in your wall and introduce low-grade biological warfare. I didn't even know what that was. Sure enough, they drilled holes in the walls. And for 2 years running, I had this flu that was the strangest. It's like a low-grade flu cold. I never get colds and flu. And so it was so, you know, out of place and out of the ordinary, but it really felt synthetic. It was strange. Anyway, but I was one of the reasons I sold my house and got out of Washington. But I'm convinced from watching the intensity of the colds and flus that some of that is going on. There's also a deterioration in the food and water supply. So as I've stressed and stressed in this annual wrap-up when Joseph and I are talking about food, please find local sources of food. I found a lot of local sources when I first moved here and then finally gave up because it's much more time-consuming. I'm going to redouble my efforts now because I think with the FDA moving to regulate and permit lab-grown meat, you just don't know what you're getting. Anyway, make sure your immune system is strong and detox, detox, detox. So we have some great Salieri reports on building strong immune systems and on detoxing, but you're going to have to be the proactive leader of making sure you're healthy. So that's five, increased health risks. And then systems implosion. My concern is, and again, it's spotty, it depends on where you are, that the resources to run excellent telecommunication or digital systems or any kind of systems, utility systems, municipal systems, it's going to be husbanded for the deep state and the civilian economy is going to suffer. So it can be spotty where you are. And all it takes is one pipe bursting or one cable bursting to really hiccup a business and a household. I wanted to remind you again, we have reissued our 2016 prayer book in a generic form. It includes the Dear Cry, which is a prayer I pray almost every day. My personal opinion is that your best source of intelligence, the best source on the planet, comes from your inner voice through prayer. I really believe it works anyway. And in terms of maintaining safety and protection, I know the Dear Cry works because I use it. I've had subscribers and clients who were committed atheists agree to pray the Dear Cry and call me back and say, oh my God, it works. One of the best pieces of advice I got in the last year or two was reading a venture capitalist who said, you want to own the first hour of the day. The first hour of the day is the perfect time to set the tone for the day. Don't rush out of bed. Take some time to, whether it's meditation or prayer or really focusing on your goals for the day and what you want to accomplish. So our imagination and our fields are very powerful. So we need to set that vision of what our day should bring and a vision that everyone else can share as to what we're going to accomplish. So consider that you want to own the first hour of the day, and that's the day when you create the conditions that ensures you're going to be coherent all day long, no matter what is going on. So I'm not worried about collapse. I'm worried about the collapse of lawfulness. and how we're going to manage and navigate that. Let's look at how the markets fared in 2018. Everything was down. Cash was king. The Fed bumped interest rates in 2018 December. That doesn't surprise me if I was in that position with that, with the goals of squeezing down on the civilian economy. That's what I would have done. But it's also protecting pension funds and insurance companies, which have suffered tremendously as a result of the lower interest rates. And of course, the banks are going to have a lot more profits rolling in with those higher interest rates. As I said, cash was king. The dollar up 4.26% for the year. That's the U.S. dollar index. Fixed income, the long treasury was down 1.61%. It's interesting, the treasuries were yielding much more coming into the last quarter of the year. And then rates dropped as the stock market dropped and more money went into bonds. Intermediate treasury up 1% for the year, the bond aggregate up 10 basis points, so essentially flat. And junk finally had a bad year, down 3.27%. That's as of the 12/31 December 2018. If we just look at how the year opened up this week, we have bonds doing well. The U.S. dollar index is up 0.75%. TLT up 1.67%, so making up all the losses of last year in a few days. The intermediate treasury up 1%, the bond aggregate up 0.5%, and junk essentially flat, down 9 basis points. The 2018 equities, I was convinced that the plunge protection team would basically pull it out and make sure that the S&P was basically flat or up a little bit for the year. I was wrong. That's surprising, and it shows you how much nervousness there is about the trade war. S&P down 4.56%. The home builders down, clearly in bear territory, down almost 26%. I'm going to talk a lot more about the equity markets in the overview on the third week of January, when we'll also have the Rambus chartology. I'm still 50-50 that this is a correction. And I think it depends on the trade wars with China and how bad the congressional wars get, sort of global criminalization of the corporate competition gets. But it wouldn't surprise me to see the U.S. markets do modestly well over the next year. As I said, you know, we've seen in this situation, same situation we had in 1991, where the corporate guys are taking advantage of recession to acquire a lot more assets and earnings. And so the U.S. stock market is doing well despite the recession. And despite the fact that their current earnings may not look so wonderful, they're packing in and sweeping up all the assets that are going to make things glorious. And so it reflects the potential for future earnings. So continuing on 2018, VGK, the European ETF, down almost 15%. Germany, ugh, down 21.37%. Germany really got caught in the crossfires. The developed markets minus North America down almost 14%. The large cap China stocks down 13.26%. The small cap down 23%. Then the emerging markets down 15.31%. So if you look at how we opened up the year, it's been an ugly week. The S&P down 2.28%. The home builders down another 34 basis points. The European ETF down 1.3%. Germany, wow, down 2.05%. The developed markets down 1.11%. The large cap China down 2.53%. Small cap, ugh, down 3.26%. And emerging markets down 1.56%. The reality is, one reason the plunge protection team might not have protected the S&P at the end of the year, this increases the pressure for corporate earnings. So the political pressure is on, and to get those earnings, and unfortunately, if you look at the landscape, too many of the quick ways to get earnings is harmful for the general economy. So it's speedy and poorly done privatization. It's weather warfare and disaster capital. It's targeting small business to shift their income over to large corporations. So let me keep going. The commodities in 2018 down, the commodity index down 12.41%, gold down 1.94%, silver down 19%. And oil got hammered, down 26.76%. Of course, again, the trade war between China and the U.S., softening the Chinese economy and expectations for the Asian economy. If you look at the start of the year, the commodities have opened up 35 basis points, and gold and silver have had a nice beginning. Gold up 0.97%, almost 1%, silver up 1.6%, and oil up almost 4%. So commodities starting strong, stocks very weak. And as I said, again, more in the equity overview. So right now we have Wall Street and Main Street not in alignment. And it's one of the problems, because if the U.S. economy is going to do well, you need those two in alignment. The problem, of course, is I think the people running the economy are much more concerned about control than the economy doing well. Clearly, Trump as president is interested in the economy doing well, but that's not in alignment with the people who want real control. I want to stress again, because I think it's very important. I talked about it in the theme, what has just happened to Mattis in connection with this policy of FASB 56. When I was the lead financial advisor through Hamilton Securities Group for the FHA, one of the deputy assistant secretaries made the mistake of taking $1 billion of credit reform profits that had been generated and moving it behind the multifamily program so that it could make money for the multifamily developers. And when they informed me that they had just done it, I said, "You just signed your death warrant. You just signed your death warrant. You just opened the spigot to a group of people who now can get rid of you so that they can have a party, because you've turned over the revenues and you put no control on the expenses." And sure enough, that was when we got hit with, you know, the wave of, you name it, legal harassment, financial harassment, and serious physical harassment. And sure enough, all the sort of honest people on the political side and contracting side got driven out of HUD by the people who wanted to have a party. And of course, FASB 56 is a big whistle that screams party time. So the FASB 56 gets approved on October 4th. Mattis leaves 77 days later. And Blackwater is coming out with ads saying Blackwater is coming, as though it's back. Remember, Blackwater had changed its name. It was so in disgrace. But the former president of Blackwater has been working with the head of the venture capital firm that owns DynCorp, has been running around Washington lobbying heavily for a privatization plan in the Middle East, whereby you take mercenaries and make them private viceroys of places like Iraq and territory that you control in Afghanistan, and they use mercenary armies to run everything. If you hadn't seen it, I published a review of Sean McFate's book on mercenaries, which is very good, and it's in the library. And there's some discussion in that review of why these are very bad ideas. Mattis, from what I could tell, was doing a very good job of describing why they are very bad ideas. And I think it's very important to understand that when you build this kind of capacity, is going to be let loose on the human race, not just in the Middle East, or not just in the second or third world. They're going to be let loose in places like California. The question remains, who's doing the operations in California? You know, if you look at the current secret financing mechanism, we could be financing a 9/11 West and an American Phoenix program. Make no mistake about it. Anyway, so this idea of the secret financing for secret armies is phenomenally dangerous. We see Trump saying he's pulling U.S. troops out of Syria. Yes, but what is he inserting? Or what is DOD using the secret financing mechanism inserting in Syria? Ask yourself that question. And in Afghanistan, and in Iraq, and in California, and in other places around the country, because this is a practice. The more you finance private armies who have the ability to kill with impunity, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to kill with impunity to get control of more money and more power, and around we go. So we're talking about the corruption of the law and basically lawlessness. And part of it is, it's funny, I got in a bit of a squabble with two wonderful colleagues about the law and what the meaning of the law was. And they were taking the position that the law is what you can enforce. And I said, no, the law is what the law is, whether you can enforce it or not. The law matters. It matters as a covenant between us. It matters as a business and moral and ethical matter. And if morals and ethics and our covenant legally with each other has no meaning, and the only thing that matters is enforcement, then the guy who can kill with impunity wins. And that's our society. So, as I said, dark age coming. We also see the 116th Congress arrive back in Washington. Nancy Pelosi now prepared to has now taken the leadership of the House with the Democrats. And the clear message from the Democrats, and part of this has been triggered by the shutdown of government over the wall, the Democratic plan is war on Trump. Maximum diversion, maximum distraction, maximum noise. This is what happens when you have no markets, no financial controls, no financial transparency, and an infinite amount of money. And the only way to squabble about it is not with the authentic issues, because all of those have to remain secret. All you can do is play these kinds of entertaining political games. And so expect all of Washington is going to the info mattresses, so to speak. It's an expression from Mob Wars when you go to the mattresses. So expect Washington to go to the info mattresses. If you look at the new wave of freshman congressmen and who's being run for 2020, expect a wave of technocrats who are excessively naive and will not begin to fathom what the deep state is up to in terms of controlling everything. And they will be entirely controlled by the deep state, and they will be kept busy making up rules to micromanage all of us. It's not a pretty picture. They don't understand or believe in markets because we've never tried them here. You know, what they've seen of what's called a market economy is something entirely different. If you look at Europe, May is struggling mightily with Brexit. Question is, will she do a hard Brexit or will Britain decide to do another referendum so that they can back away from Brexit? I don't know. May is very much protected by the general fear of Jeremy Corbyn and what the Labour Party would look like. And what is missing in England is missing here and everywhere, which is pro-wealth, pro-market populists, and which is essentially what Salieri's philosophy is, but it's certainly missing from the UK. My guess is the chances of another referendum are much higher than I would like. If I was Britain, I'd take a hard Brexit. Behind the scenes, you see a major push for a EU army, including Britain, and among other things, the pressure for that is to keep the euro strong. And of course, all the arms manufacturers are going to make a fortune because the EU is a huge market. Same problem in Europe as the US. Central control is blossoming. It's stronger than ever. At the same time, I think the sort of debasement of culture is much less significant and slower in Europe. So whether it's in Europe or the United States, expect to see a blossoming of the Midianite thing. For those of you who are new to Salieri, the Midianite thing is fighting among the establishment. The more you centralize control, the more the long knives come out among the establishment as they fight for control. China, what happens with the trade wars is a very big question. We're seeing a travel advisory warning now from the United States about traveling to China, a fear that citizens are going to be arrested. There is no doubt that criminalization is happening. We see Malaysia indict Goldman Sachs, Japan indicts Nissan and the Nissan chairman. The dirty tricking with criminalization and competing globally through criminalization has started a serious trend. And it's a perfect example of why the U.S. has failed to understand that if anything goes, it means anything can come back to bite you. These are the kind of dirty tricks we've been using, whether it's sanctions or criminalization, and now they're, you know, the world is turning around and using it on us. And unfortunately, we're seeing a real deterioration in the value of trust. It's a new form of trade war, if you will. And so watch deterioration of the value of U.S. passports. I think we have to be much more careful about where we go. But again, the blowback is bad, and I think it's going to get much, much worse. The Solari Report Hero of the Year for 2018 is John Rapoport. And I really spent some time to put down in writing why John Rapoport has always been and is such an extraordinary hero in my life. And I wanted to read it to you. I'm going to read the full piece, and you can find it, of course, on the web presentation. John stood on the stage alone. He was wearing a three-piece white suit with a pink shirt. Contrasted with his jet black hair and tall, stern demeanor, he cut an imposing figure that night. He began to speak about the corruption of medical science and the truth of vaccines. He spoke forcefully and without hesitation for more than an hour. No notes, no slides. It was spellbinding. There were more facts, figures, profound insight, and pure unadulterated truth packed into that oration than I thought was possible. It was intellectual luxury, the equivalent of eating an entire box of the finest Swiss chocolates. Intense, delicious, rich. I've heard stories of what it was like to hear Mark Twain and the greatest orators of an age. To be in the audience for one of those performances transforms you. It changes your life. This was the first time it happened to me. It was in Mexico, at night, long ago. It was the finest speech I have ever heard, ever. Why is it that one of the finest orators of our age is not speaking at the great universities and think tanks, while retired politicians, whose only claim to fame was giving away our money, are paid $1 million speaking fees? The answer is because John Rapoport is on our side. He's always been on our side, completely, utterly, and without equivocation. I've read almost everything John has ever written and listened to much of what he has recorded. For years, I pestered John to package his interviews into what is now Matrix Revealed Collection. For years, John interviewed insiders and allowed them to tell all anonymously. His goal was to unpack the nuts and bolts of how our official reality is crafted and controlled. In many years of reading those interviews, I never found one imperfection. If you've operated within the system on Wall Street in Washington, you invariably find imperfections. It's what gives away sloppy reporting or disinformation. John's reports were flawless, real, detailed, fascinating. His ability to unpack the details of how the Matrix worked and to teach the power of our imaginations unleashed inspiration in my heart and possibilities in my mind. I kept insisting to clients and subscribers that they read John Rapoport. I did a Solari report with John on his new collection, including his interviews, The Matrix Revealed, when it was ready. I was in a hotel with three options for both phone and internet. During the live recording, all three phones went down, as did the room's electricity. I stayed live as I kept migrating access. The interruptions did not all happen at once. The audience never knew. It confirmed that someone important agreed with me about the importance of John's collections. A subscriber called me the next week and said, "All my life I've been going to these conferences where people told me I could invent my world. But I never believed them. After listening to you and John describe how other people are inventing my world for me, I realized, you know, I can invent my world." John does that to people. I used to stay at a friend's house in the San Francisco Bay Area who would read John's latest column almost daily and howl with laughter. It was this exact same inspiration the power of John's insights made freedom ring. I invited my friend to come see John speak at Secret Space Program 2014. When I came back to the house that evening, he was sitting in his kitchen table, grinning from ear to ear. I asked him what he was smiling about. He said, "Inspired by John's speech, I am imagining my next big thing." For many years, one of my dreams has been to look up on my bookshelves and see a leather-bound complete works of John Rapoport next to my Oxford 6-volume edition of the complete works of William Wordsworth. In my book, that is the ranks where John's writings belong, with the great works that endure through the ages. If you want to help make that dream come true, head over to John's site, No More Fake News, and buy and download his books, audios, and interviews packaged in 3 digital collections. We invest in our freedom and our future each time we archive, learn, teach, pass on, and preserve these priceless contributions. The Soleri team chose John as the Soleri Report Hero for 2018. No words can express the inspiration and power that John and his work have given our team, our subscribers, and our network. May God bless you, John Rappaport, as you have blessed all of us. Let's go to the movies. Because it's annual wrap-up time, I get to announce the documentary of the year and the movie of the year. The documentary of the year, and this will come as no surprise, is The Minds of Men from True Stream Media, an absolute tour de force. I decided several years ago that we needed to do a lot more to cover mind control and provide much richer, deeper information on mind control and mind control technology for our subscribers. We need to cover its application, its uses, again, the science and technology behind it. And so I thought, oh, how am I going to do this? I'm not a scientist. This is out of my area of competency. And it's a major job. So I decided, okay, well, the first step I'll take is what investment bankers always do. They see, what is everybody else doing and can we use their stuff? And I was amazed to discover that Melissa and Aaron Dykes at TrueSteam were really deep diving mind control in a serious way and were producing a series of videos that were not only entertaining, but they were unbelievably insightful. And they were doing very serious research on the history, the administrative infrastructure, and the science and technology. Melissa was really plowing through enormous amounts of patents and some pretty technical material. And it was really outstanding original work. And so I decided rather than try and duplicate it, I would simply do everything I could to republish and support their efforts. I've been a fan of TrueStream since the day they started because I had dealings with Aaron in his past media incarnation and was very, very impressed. And then he partnered with Melissa, whose passion for the truth simply takes your breath away. And I believe The Minds of Men, which is a very serious 3-hour-plus documentary on mind control in the years of the Cold War, which is, you've got to understand the history if you're going to understand mind control today. It's really important to understand how we got here. Anyway, so this is a 3-hour investigation. It took them more than 3 years to do it, but the quality of the production is amazing. The information they've dug out, and I think they see the depth and width of this topic in a unique way if you combine it with Dr. Farrell's new book on mind control this year, or in 2018. The combination is an amazing introduction to this topic. Anyway, I consider this a must-watch if you want to understand your world in 2019. They're working on a sequel to try and bring us down to the present from where they ended in the early 70s in The Minds of Men. I can't wait. So a real tour de force from TrueStream Media. It's now available on the internet for free if you just go to our Documentary of the Year page on the web presentation, which is public. You can watch the full video for free, but I would encourage you to stop by their Patreon page. We're a member of a group of 500 plus people who provide them with monthly support, and I would suggest that it is a powerful blow for freedom and encouragement of the Midianite thing to support Melissa and Aaron Dykes. I can't say enough positive about their work. It's been a tremendous boon to both me and to the Soleri Report subscribers. Movie of the year. I was warned that I was going to want to make Vice Movie of the Year by your culture scout, our magnificent writer who really knows Hollywood and movies and culture and art. And she had seen Vice and recommended Vice, but it wasn't going to come out until Christmas Day. And so I told everyone I had to leave Christmas dinner by 3:30 so I could make my opening of Vice at the local theater in Pennsylvania. And sure enough, I did. And wow, was I impressed. I led my review with a quote from Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, who's joined us on the Salieri Report several times. Dick Cheney ought to be in jail for war crimes. And if he were, and accountability were really achieved in this country, we wouldn't have to listen to him except through prison bars. Now, that's what the former chief of staff to the Secretary of State, who dealt with Cheney a lot, had to say about him. And to that, I can only say, hear, hear. I would encourage you to watch one documentary before you watch Vice, and that's Charlie Ferguson's documentary on Iraq, No End in Sight, Iraq's Descent into Chaos. Because if you listen to what I'm saying to you, my concern is that the United States has the potential to descend into a controlled form of chaos. And I think you'll understand why if you watch Ferguson and then watch Vice, because it was the Cheney group that very much descended Iraq into chaos, and it was a plan. I had a lot of dealings with the Republican neocons when I worked in the first Bush administration, and I can only say that I hope the innuendo, which has to be subtle to give plausible deniability to the makers of Vice, rings through to enough prosecutors that somebody decides to finally do something about bringing the Cheney, it's not just Dick Cheney, it's his wife, bringing the Cheneys to a state of accountability. So hear, hear. I would strongly recommend, if you want to understand the swamp or the notion of training the swamp, I would absolutely see Vice. It's a very well done movie. Christian Bale gives an outstanding performance as Dick Cheney, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him walk away with Best Actor at the Oscars. Another very rewarding discussion with Joseph. Joseph really understands the shift that's happening to us and the meaning of the FASB 56. We have organized the discussions into chapters so that you can listen by chapter if you want. It's a long discussion for part one, shorter one next week. The transcript for part one will be up, we hope, by next week. We've finished the raw transcript, but now it needs to be edited, but we'll have that up by next week. Please make sure to check out the web presentation as you're following along. Our News Trends and Stories editor, Brad Edens, has done a fantastic job of helping us go through all the stories of 2018 and pulling out the ones we think really indicate the deeper, big stories, but trying to make sure you have a collection of the headlines and videos that really demonstrate what we think are going on. And of course, we have our write-up for Hero of the Year, Documentary of the Year, and Movie of the Year up on the web presentation as well. The web presentation for the wrap-up is always a dynamic process. It's a work in progress, so we fill it out as we publish the four segments during the month. And so as we go through the different segments throughout this month, we'll be filling it out. And then, of course, it'll convert to the PDF and hard copy in February. If you are a premium subscriber, you're going to get the hard copy automatically. If you're not a premium subscriber, if you're digital and not digital and print, you'll have access to the PDF, and we try and do flipbooks, and those are all online. If you want to convert to digital and print, just let customer service know and we can arrange that. I'm telling you, this is going to be a great one. We had several requests to make the cover accessible on a downloadable basis, and so there's a commentary up on Salieri.com with the full graphic, and you can click on that and download, or there's another link there. And so feel free to pass it around, repost it, republish it. Our wonderful graphic designer did his best to take the missing money story and make it simple in one page. I think he did an absolutely brilliant job. Ask Catherine. Our last Money in Markets was December 13th, so we've been collecting up quite a lot of questions. First question, Catherine: Greg Hunter had a two-hour interview with Dave Janda on December 31st. When 9/11 was mentioned, Dave said his dad said to look at building number 7. His dad thought everything else was a diversion and number 7 was a real target. Do you agree? One of the things they mentioned that Oklahoma was an operation to conceal Clinton documents as well as other incriminating documents, which I agree with. Chand has been slinging some really strange stuff lately, and he and I had a bit of a squabble because he was pumping some disinformation on the California fires, and I called him on it. And I'm supposed to go on a show later this month, but if he keeps doing stuff like this, that's, you know, may have to be the last time. Anyway, I disagree with Dave about building number 7. I think there were operations in all 3 buildings that were relevant. But there's no doubt that the document trail on the, at that point, $3.4 trillion, $3.4 trillion of missing money, as well as a lot of the SEC investigations that were in Building 7, you know, so there's no doubt that tearing up documents and money trails was an incredibly important part of the 9/11 operation, which brings us back to Dick Cheney and his wife, of course, being on the board of Lockheed Martin, which was the lead FAA contractor at the time and the lead contractor at DOD and HUD, where Lockheed was running a lot of the payment systems, that the money happened to go missing over. So the linkages between the Cheneys and 9/11 are more than terrifying. Dear Catherine, I would like to preface my previous comments. This is actually, there are 2 questions, but both relate to whether U.S. is on corporate or commerce law or constitutional law and some other legal issues. And I have it on my list very much to do some deep dive on some of the legal issues that you brought up. I appreciate your sending them. The one thing I would say, my experience, judges do what they're told regardless of the law. One of my favorite lines from my litigation was Judge Sporkin decided against us when we had not only the law, but a Supreme Court case recently on exact point that agreed totally down the line with us. No ambiguity whatsoever. We had Supreme Court law on point. And my attorney said, but Judge Sporkin, you have to do it. It's the law, you know, pointing to the Supreme Court case. And Sporkin said, well, Mr. McManus, I disagree with the law. If you have a problem with that, take it up with Congress. So that's kind of the problem. I agree with Prouty. Prouty said you have to cut off their funding, and that's what I've been talking about for 20 years, how we cut off the funding. I'm still talking about it, but I think the courts can offer us no hope unless you can swing the money. Dear Catherine, it's over a year now since Jason Bodensmith interviewed Cal and Josh from the InPower movement, and they go on about some of the things we can do real change. On my list, I'm hoping, is to get the InPower movement guys on, and I want to stress again how invaluable I think all boycotting and shunning techniques are. And all different variations and forms of them are welcome. Hi, Catherine. I'm a Solaris subscriber, and we met last year at the East Palo Alto gathering. I'm not sure if you've seen this. Venezuela is apparently implementing their own social credit system. Oh, God. More technocracy. One of the questions you ask is, you had trouble posting a comment and required an approval. For some reason, the software is supposed to automatically approve everything, and you shouldn't have to wait for approval, but sporadically it's doing that. No one is banned, and we are trying to figure out why some are not approving, and the only way we can do that is if we don't approve them and deep dive and try and figure out what. So if you don't get approved automatically, you're not banned. And if it takes a little while for us to prove it, it's because we're using your cases trying to figure out what's going on. Then you point out the Rothschilds opening their first office in North America back in 2013. One of the things I describe in the Dylan Reed story is the Rothschilds moving money and operations to the U.S. And there's no doubt with David Rockefeller dying, I think part of what we're watching is the competition between intergenerational pools of capital. And unfortunately, they're smart enough to know that right now, if you look at the changes going on in the deep state and the different changes that we're seeing in the fundamental model of governance, it's much more important to get control right now than it is to make money. So, although, you know, putting corporations in starvation mode so they have to go along with what you want them to do to get money, it's a dangerous state of affairs, and it's one that we're in. Here is a book I've written to you about some time ago on the national security state interfering in Hollywood. The relationships in the intersection of the deep state and Hollywood go back to John Kennedy's dad and, you know, the deep relationship between Harvard and Hollywood. It's a very old, deep story. You notice anytime you watch a home video, you get a warning from the FBI about copyright penalties, etc. Why do you think that is? Very deep relationship. Hi, Catherine. This video by Joan Nova details how electricity supplies have become more expensive, unreliable, and complex in Australia due to climate-related policies. This one is interesting, and I posted it. I really appreciate your sending that. Catherine, you may already have noticed the project in the Netherlands, Smart Houses, Smart Appliances. Yeah, we posted stories about that. And then Cruz writes that he has a special formula for concrete to protect from 5G. I'm hoping that Jason Bawden-Smith will do an interview with Cruz for the Salier Report this year. He's a fan of Cruz's work. Next question. This might be a late entry for Money and Markets, but I just saw Dr. Farrell do his news and views on the Zero Hedge article. It's about a team of hackers who hacked a lot of material about the 9/11 attacks and is planning on dishing out the information. I suspect that, one, it's probably true, and the Midianite thing is absolutely happening. So if you look at, if you have this much secret money and secret armies, then there's lots of secrets hidden behind attorney-client privilege in the law firms. And, you know, and the insurance companies are going to get a hold of it. And if you look at the cybersecurity problems, people are going to hack, people are going to get, people are going to blackmail. And it's one of the reasons that I think a lot is ultimately going to leak out, because the Midianite thing is going to keep cracking through the official reality. And that's why boycotting and shunning can help so very much. Then finally, we have a series of very long questions from one new subscriber. In fact, who was given a short-term complimentary subscription is not very familiar with Solari. So I'm not going to read the questions. They get quite long and detailed, but they're basically three categories. One is, I had been asked by Greg Hunter on the last Greg Hunter show what I thought was the worst case. And I said the worst case was that the establishment was very concerned about the future of the planet and consequently wanted to establish multiplanetary civilization so that we weren't dependent on Earth. And so the question was, what do you think those concerns might be caused by? So I'll give you a few examples. One is the ionization of the atmosphere for a variety of reasons is making the planet controllable but less hospitable. The second is that nuclear testing and accidents have done significant damage, whether to the planet or the atmosphere, including the ionosphere, is another one, or could. If you look at the nuclear waste issues and the nuclear management issues, they're concerned that it could happen. Third is there's a steady deterioration in the magnetic field as well as oxygen levels. Why is that happening? Where is it going? Fourth is sun cycles. And then the fifth, of course, is asteroids and space weather. I think it's, if I was Mr. Global, I would think it's prudent to simply not bet the ranch on one planet. I think it's important to understand that the establishment is obligated to be prepared for the worst case. That doesn't mean they think that the worst case is going to happen. They just have to be prepared for it. And I think, I believe intuitively that the planet will be okay. It's just my hunch. But I'm not obligated to be prepared for the worst case. And I would, when it comes to thinking about these issues, I would recommend learning to listen to the Solari Report, Learning to Walk About, as well as the one I did with John Rappaport called The Power of It. Okay, the second batch of questions relates to wanting a lot more detail on mind control. And for that, as I said, 2 years ago, I made the command decision that we weren't going to try and deep dive mind control, but instead I would depend on TruthStream and other sources we could find. If you look at The Minds of Men at the end, there's a huge bibliography, both resources and sources, that's excellent. And I would just tell you to print that out and have at it. It's an amazing review of the literature. And I would add to it Farrell's book, the Microcosm book. You can find the review on our website. But I would just have at it. I would finally just point out that I'm essentially by training a portfolio strategist. And my goal with the Solera Report is to find the best experts in all topics, try and filter for high integrity, and then try and integrate. Because my goal is not to be an expert in any one thing, but to help you have a free and inspired life. We're very relationship-driven. And if I have a fault, it's that I have a mama bear complex, and I feel very protective towards you all. Anyway, so I hope what we have to say about mind control is useful. But ultimately, you have to make up your mind as to what you believe is true. We're living in a world where there are many different experts. If you just take the TrueStream media sources and resources and follow them, I assure you could turn it into a full-time job for many years. But you ultimately have to come to determine what you believe is true, because, you know, the question is, what do you need to have a free and inspired life? And only you can decide. So I would start with the TrueStream resource list, and I would also get a hold of Farrell's book. And then the third question relates to gun control. The best book I've found so far, bar none, on gun control is Gary Kleck's book, Point Blank. He's a criminologist at the University of Florida and has been very quiet in recent years. I think he's probably scared to death given the violence of the debate. If you look at the statistics, the bottom line is the honest citizens are much safer when they're armed and trained. And it's particularly true for women. So for women to even the playing field, there's no, you know, the statistics are overwhelmingly clear. If you want an excellent example of where a fully armed population with excellent training shows you what it can do to contribute to the rule of law, Switzerland is just the world's greatest example. In my opinion, it's the safest place in the world. You've never felt safer in your life than in Switzerland. Anyway, but I do agree that each place is different. And so what you need in one place is different than what you need in another. I'll never forget having a wonderful luncheon in Auckland in New Zealand. And wonderful headmaster of a school in New Zealand talking about, you know, you have these horrible gun nuts in the United States. What's their problem? And I said to him, I'm one of them. And he couldn't, he said, why would you ever want to own a gun? So let's talk about why would want to own a gun. In most every neighborhood in America, there are narcotics trafficking and illegal drug operations, marketing drugs in. And the financial system, the black budget, the banks are very financially dependent on the cash flows and the money laundering coming from those operations. And those operations are very much involved in the political control and life of all those counties across America. So basically, we have an institutionalized, organized crime system that I believe has the full support of the federal government, the Department of Justice, the intelligence agencies, and the big banks. Now, in that environment, they have guns. And so the reality is we're all living in a place where there are gangs and they own guns and they run narcotics and they are under the protection of the government. Now, if we have gun control, I could lose my gun, but they will still have their gun. And that changes the balance of power in ways that are very, very dangerous. Now, I'm in a county that has an excellent sheriff and he has an excellent team, but they are 25 to 45 minutes away from me on average, which means I, as a single woman living alone, am responsible for the first 20 to 45 minutes of any problem. And we have had in Hickory Valley a home invasion by a drug gang of three people. And so I have to be prepared to defend myself for 20 to 45 minutes against three people engaged in a home invasion. That's the history of crime in my area. And that means, essentially, I have one protection. And that is, it's really funny, there's a joke, after the home invasion happened, all the members of the Hickory Valley Women's Club went out and trained and got licensed. And the joke went around the county that in Hickory Valley, all the men had to sleep with bulletproof vests because the women were so well armed. But the reality is we haven't, that I know of, had any trouble since then. But I think the reason we haven't had any trouble is there's a balance of power. And I think if you degun the population, I couldn't live here. I'd have to leave. So, you know, the reality is if you want to get gun control in America, what you need to do is you need the U.S. government, the Department of Justice, the banks, the intelligence agencies to stop basically facilitating, protecting, and being financially dependent on the illegal cash flows that come from illegal drug flows. Now, I spent many, many years writing about that. It's why I tell the Red Button story. I encourage you to look up the Red Button story. And so this is something I have really deep dived for many years. I grew up with it. I saw the drugs take over my neighborhood in West Philadelphia. It's what first got me interested in place-based development and all the things I did, which you can learn about if you read the Dylan Reed story. But the reality is, if you want America to not own guns, then you need to bring transparency to the deep state and do something about it, including how we create a model where the Wall Street and Main Street are in alignment and make money from helping each other succeed instead of Wall Street making money from helping Main Street fail. One thing I do want to mention is guns do not protect the people of places like Paradise, California from what they're facing. So I don't overestimate the value of guns. And I also think they can be very dangerous in a situation where we face the kind of Kingsman type mind control. So I would really encourage anybody who hasn't to watch the Kingsman or there's a dreadful John Cusack movie called The Cell. You know, so mind control and guns can mix in the wrong way. And I really recommend, again, that you educate yourself about these technologies. So head over to TruthStream and start deep diving the information. Okay, that's it for this evening. Again, Happy New Year. I'm really looking forward to 2019. Next up next week, part two of News, Trends, and Stories. Again, check out the web presentation. The News, Trends, and Stories section is there now. The following week, January 17th, we will do the equity overview and Rambus chartology. I've been going back and forth with Rambus. He's just, he's blistering out the charts because the market is twisting and turning and the VIX has skyrocketed. Then January 24th, our theme for the 2018 annual wrap-up, The Real Game of the Missing Money. I've heard a lot of other people spinning and yarning and disinfoing and describing and promoting the missing money story over the last year. And finally, I've tried to help educate a number of people without a lot of success, other than of course, Dr. Skidmore. So I finally decided, okay, so I've lived with this issue now for many, many years. And it was, of course, the reaching into the treasury to grab the missing money. Hamilton was in the way and so had to be destroyed for them to punch through and get the missing money. So certainly if you look at the impact on my life and on my net worth, it has been very, very dramatic. It almost cost me my life. In fact, it's quite a miracle to me that it didn't. So this is something I know a lot about. I've lived with it for a long time. So it's time for me to say something, make sort of my definitive statement on where we are on the missing money. And so I look forward to doing that on January 24th. There are a wealth of materials, again, on the web presentation for the annual wrap-up, and I hope you enjoy them as we roll them out through the month. Ladies and gentlemen, until next week, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, 2019 would be a great year to start one. Good night and good luck.